A few years ago on Women's Focus, we spoke to John O'Brien, president of Catholics for Choice, when he was in Albuquerque. This time, Sarah Hutchinson, their program director, was in town. We talked to her by phone. I'm Susan Lube for Women's Focus, and today I'm talking to Sarah Hutchinson from Catholics for Choice. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks for having us, Susan.
First of all, I was just wondering, how long has Catholics for Choice been in existence?
Catholics for Choice is a 40-year-old organization. We were begun just after the Roe v. Wade decision to really make sure that the voice of Catholics from around the world are part of the debate around reproductive health and religion and public policy, as the bishops are often in conflict with what everyday Catholics think about these issues.
And so right from the beginning, it was the idea that there'd be a need to sort of bring this other choice to Catholics.
Absolutely. Catholics live their lives and their faith in a myriad of ways. And we know that from polling that we've done over the decades that we've been in existence, that Catholics believe that abortion and contraception and relationships of every flavor can be moral choices that people can make about their lives and can certainly still leave their standing as good Catholics.
And is it a United States organization or is it worldwide?
We are based in Washington, D.C. We're a national organization, but we work both here in the United States and around the world to work with partners, Catholics, and policymakers to help them hear those voices and make sure they represent those voices.
Can you tell me a little bit about what's happening in other states other than New Mexico, how Catholics for Choice are received and what kind of work you do?
Certainly. As I said, we work here in the United States. We work in a number of states with everyday Catholics to represent them and their voices, to lift up their voices and make sure they're being heard by their policymakers and by their neighbors and friends and the media. And we also work directly with the policymakers who are Catholic themselves to make sure they're represented and also to give them the support and information they need about what their fellow Catholics think.
Well, I meant more, are there states where you're more welcome or?
Well, I mean, I think we're welcomed by Catholics themselves. I've had the joy and the honor to work with Catholics from across the United States in states like Texas and Ohio, New York, Florida, certainly New Mexico, Arizona, Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, across the United States. And they're really always relieved, and many of them express gratitude that we're there and we're helping to make sure their voices are heard. Catholic policymakers who are pro-choice and who do fight for these issues every day and their constituents who believe that it's important also welcome us and work with us and love our materials and all of the really thoughtful and innovative ideas that we've had. I'm sorry, can I say that again?
Mm-hmm.
Policymakers from across the states, Catholics themselves as well as non-Catholics, welcome our materials and information about polling, about what Catholics think, as well as insightful and in-depth reporting on a variety of issues related to reproductive health and religious freedom in the public sphere.
Do you have any idea of the number of Catholics? As I'm sure you know, there are a number of Catholics in New Mexico.
Yes.
And do you have any idea what percentage of Catholics in general believe in choice, but perhaps don't always say that?
Sure. I mean, we know from our polling from across the United States, and this bears itself out in a variety of state-level polling from a number of sources, that Catholics in the 70% to 80% range believe that abortion can be a moral choice, and only about 10 or 11%, 14% of Catholics reportedly agree with the bishops that abortion should be illegal all the time. So whether Catholics would choose individually to seek an abortion or to make that decision public, they still believe it should be an option available to others. And
okay,
that's true across the United States.
And what about contraception? Because that's something that seems to have come to the fore, and I kind of thought we had won that battle.
Yeah, it's interesting because we know that 98% of sexually active Catholic women have used a form of contraception in some point in their life that's been banned by the Vatican. So obviously the Vatican, the church hierarchy, the Catholic bishops aren't really listening to the way everyday Catholics think about contraception and how we know we use it in our lives and in our families and our family planning. Recently, in the last couple of years, as the debate has waged at the federal level over the Affordable Care Act and the mandate for HHS plans for the plans that are covered under the Affordable Care Act to cover contraception for everyone, it's shined an interesting light on the difference between what Catholics do and think and how they believe about contraception and what the bishops and the Vatican are willing to do in order to make their voices heard and to really drown out the voices of those 98% of Catholic women.
Okay. So that's something that has been sort of developing recently.
Yes. I mean, I think that we know that Catholics do not want the bishops to politicize their pulpit. They don't want these issues brought into Mass. They don't want that spiritual place to be violated by politics. And yet, the bishops here in the United States especially continuously seem to be coming back to that trough and claiming to represent all of Catholic opinion, when we know, especially on issues of reproductive health care, especially on issues of same-sex marriage, marriage equality, especially on issues of preventing HIV and AIDS and sexually transmitted diseases, especially on issues of what's the appropriate role of religious voices in public policy debates, the bishops simply do not represent what Catholics think.
And why don't people just say stop? Why don't they, you know, sort of speak out to the bishops? I guess I should say that I'm not Catholic.
Catholics do. There are Catholics who certainly do, both public figures and private citizens who speak up and say, no, I am pro-choice, I am Catholic, and I believe this is what's right, and I want laws that reflect that. But for many Catholics, again, they don't want the politics of these debates to enter into their relationship with their priest, with their bishop, with the hierarchy of their church. And the Catholic bishops especially have shown in their lobbying arm, which in New Mexico is the New Mexico Catholic Conference, and some other outside groups that often use tactics that shame and scare and really are about judging the Catholics who are willing to speak out. Our faith actually allows us and, in fact, calls on us to dissent from teachings that we think are improper or immoral.
Okay.
We know that the way women make decisions about their pregnancies, the way people live their lives and plan their families, is certainly moral and certainly Catholic. And that is what we think Catholics do and how they live their faith. The bishops don't like to talk about that, but the reality is our faith actually teaches us that it's okay for us to believe these things, and it's okay for us to dissent from the bishops' teachings when we do.
Okay, so that's the message that you bring to congregations and to regular just practicing Catholics.
That's the message that we lift up that they bring to us, yes.
Well, I think what I meant was, I know that there are prominent people who speak out, who are Catholic and who speak out in favor of choice and in favor of contraception.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Some really prominent New Mexicans have been known to do that. I think especially of Speaker Raymond Sanchez, who is no longer Speaker,
yep,
but was very active in that. And as is his brother carrying that on.
Yep.
But what I meant was, why don't they go to the priest and say, we don't want to hear about this in the church anymore? Longer?
Well, I would say that some of them do, but as those conversations are private, you don't hear about that.
Oh, okay.
The definition, I think, that many of us believe is when the Catholic bishops or Catholic priests talk about Catholics believe, Catholics vote, Catholics want, what they're actually saying is the Catholic hierarchy, the bishops and the governmental structure within our church is what they're actually representing.
Okay.
Everyday Catholics, certainly we are the church just as much, the body of the church just as much as the Catholic hierarchy are. As the governor of New Mexico certainly isn't the only representative of the state of New Mexico, the citizens of New Mexico are so in our church, although the church hierarchy are leaders in our church, they are not certainly the only leaders, and they are certainly not representational.
Okay. Okay. So you're coming to help out with efforts in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about what you've been doing.
Sure. We, again, work with everyday Catholics, with policymakers, with folks who would try to tell everyone else what Catholics want and think rather than listening to what everyday Catholics want and think. We know that Catholics are likely to vote against this proposed ban, and we want to make sure that they know that we and their neighbors and family and friends are with them, and that they shouldn't be worried or afraid of saying so and of voting against it when they get to the ballot box.
And how do you get that message to them?
Well, we are working certainly with the Respect ABQ Women campaign. There are a number of partners. We are an endorsing organization of the campaign, as are a number of our partners that we work with, both in New Mexico and around the United States, and also with some more local organizations that are just there in New Mexico and in Albuquerque. And I think that as the campaign moves forward, different groups and partners will be working with the different constituencies to make sure that they both hear from us and know that we're there and we're there to represent them and to support them, and also to let the general public know that these constituencies are against this ban, which really is a violation of what, as Catholics, we believe is the central tenet of our faith, that of a respect for individual conscience.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Individual conscience is at the core of the Catholic faith. And for us to legislate decisions based on arbitrary time limits or on junk science, such as this ban is based on, isn't about respecting the individual conscience of that woman making that decision in what oftentimes is a difficult decision period.
The name of this program is Women's Focus, and although we have lots of men who listen, we do focus on women.
Yeah.
And I wonder, especially Hispanic women, do you have Hispanic women who are active with your organization?
We have women, men, Hispanics, and youth. We have all sorts of folks, and certainly we know that the tradition of the Catholic tradition in the Hispanic and Latino community is very strong, and we certainly represent those folks just as much as everyone else.
And do you have them joining with you?
Yeah, we're not a membership organization, so we don't, you know, have lists of the number of people that are connected with us.
Okay.
But we certainly work both in the community and in at the city and state level with folks who are representing those communities. Absolutely.
Tell me what your background is.
My personal background?
Yeah.
I grew up in the Midwest. I was raised Irish Catholic from outside of Chicago, and I've been on the East Coast now for a few years. I work in policy. I've worked in public health policy, and I've worked for Catholics for Choice for about 5 years. I think that it's interesting to me that when I talk to Latino Catholics especially, and it's something that we've done a lot of work in a number of states, what I hear is that the Catholic tradition in the Latino community is often the center of the community. It's the school, it's the church, it is where people go to commune, it's where people go to get support and to, of course, pray and worship. And when a situation around a pregnancy decision happens, if you take that central force, that central place out of the equation, people feel lost. We all are still there for each other, and we as a community are still very much a part of those women's lives. But the individual women making those decisions are where we at Catholics for Choice feel we need to focus. You know, women are strong and independent and morally autonomous beings. We all know exactly what we need and how we need to do it. It may take us some time to make that decision. It may take us some counsel of those folks that we choose to include, but we trust women to make the decision that's right for them, and Catholics agree with that as well.
I'm talking to Sarah Hutchinson, Program Director of Catholics for Choice. Have you had the experience of sitting in a church or sitting in a mass service and having this priest speak against abortion or speak against contraception? And what does that make you feel?
We hear that a lot. The polling that we've shown time and time and time again is that Catholics do not want the bishops being the ones who make decisions about political involvement. They don't believe that politicians who are Catholic have to vote the way the bishop tells them to. They don't believe that they individually have to vote the way the bishops tell them to. And they don't really think that bishops and priests should be talking about these issues in Mass. It is a sacred space, and it should be a place of spirituality and pastoral care, not of politics and rhetoric. We know that many, many, many Catholics feel really uncomfortable when those issues are brought up, especially during the Mass service, and I personally believe that that is not, it's not why I go, and it's certainly not why I know many, many Catholics go for that space. So we want to make sure that we tell everyone that we know that Catholics do not want that space used for politics or for rhetoric, and I personally know that that's not what I want that space to be used for. So we try to make sure that Catholics are protected from that violation of their wishes and their space, and Catholics support us because of it.
But there is a certain amount of respect for where you are and for the service that you're participating in. And so I wonder if I've heard some women say, I just feel like walking out, or I just feel like protesting, but they don't do it that. I don't think they do it that much.
Well,
and
I
wonder if
it's... By the same token that many of us as Catholics don't think that the pulpit should be used as a political space, we also don't want to use it as a political space by staging a protest or creating a situation where we're put in conflict with our pastoral leader. At that moment, it is still a choice for us to decide whether we want to sit and listen, but to make that space about that is going to be, for some people, as much a violation as the rhetoric that sometimes is heard.
Okay, so you are sort of sitting as an individual, keeping your individual counsel, but not necessarily screaming.
Well, I think that what we hear from Catholics is that they often just wait until it's over, wait until the priest has moved on to the issues and the part of the service that they feel is why they're really there, which is to spiritually commune with God and to be a part of the community of Catholics that we all are.
Okay. Can you tell me, how do you feel about where we are now, from especially thinking of your travels and your work in the States? I assume that you probably are doing more work in the States than you are nationally, because that's where things...
Well, this past couple of weeks we have been, yes.
Yeah, that's where things are... Oh, well, of course. How do you feel things are going? Are we kind of slipping? Because I sometimes have a feeling that we're slipping.
Well, I mean, I think it depends on when you're talking about what realm you're talking about. If you're talking about the political realm, if you're talking about, you know, the debate, the conversation, or if you're talking about the way everyone's individual everyday lives are lived and the room that people have to make those decisions for themselves. I think that, you know, politics is a business of hyperbole, and politics is a business of rhetoric. Policy is made at an abstract 1,000-feet-up level. The individuals who are affected by those policies, whether they're economic policies or restrictive policies or policies related to nutrition or education or healthcare, and especially reproductive healthcare, those decisions are made at a personal level. And so what I think is that people are really, really tired of politicians and groups like the Catholic bishops not understanding how their everyday lives are affected by the rhetoric that they spout. And hopefully, I'm hopeful in my work, I get to meet people every day who really just want the room to do what they want to do, to live their lives, to raise their family, to go to their jobs, to care for those in their lives that they are responsible for, and to not have these issues invade every single part of their lives. Mm-hmm. And yet we see time and time again that those who oppose abortion and those who oppose reproductive rights and those who would seek to restrict women's choices really don't seem to pay much attention to how it affects the individual's lives that they're trying to regulate and policy make.
And so it sounds like you're pretty much optimistic.
Well, I think that I'm optimistic by nature. So I hope that as people start to see these onerous restrictions and these initiatives and these laws for what they are, which is just a smokescreen for those who want to restrict what women can and cannot do and how women can and cannot make their choices and live their lives, that they'll see that the smokescreen isn't really helping anyone. And I believe people are really smart and that they will see that and rise up and tell their policymakers and maybe run for themselves.
Mm-hmm. You mean run for office?
Yeah.
I don't know if you have any children, but if you had a girl, would you bring her up in the Catholic Church now?
I think my faith isn't personally the issue. I think that just as I would not want someone to question what my faith is, I don't ask others what their faith might be. But I know that the Catholic tradition is one that's very strong in my family. My parents are have both passed away, unfortunately, but I'm reminded every day of the tradition of our church and how they raised me to see the good in others and to take care of the least of us and to fight for the social justice that our church has been famous for years.
So you find that there's enough besides the Catholic bishops for you, enough nurturing in the Catholic Church?
Absolutely. I think that there are so many things about being Catholic that don't have anything to do with the bishops and their politics. And that is why many people that I know love the church that we are in and believe that we are part of it and we are the church as much as the bishops claim that they are.
Okay, that's great. Is there anything else you want to add?
Just, I think the only thing I would add is we know that Catholics, like every other American, every other New Mexican, every other Albuquerquean, Catholic women seek abortion care, seek contraceptive services, seek to make their own decisions at the same rate as everyone else. And we want to make sure that everyone has the right and the room to make their own decisions about their own health, their own families, and what's best for them in their lives. And we know that Catholics support that as well.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thanks for coming to New Mexico and helping out.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us. We're happy to be here.
Okay. And I don't know whether there are messages that go out from Catholics for Choice that you'd want at other times to communicate to our listeners?
Absolutely. We have a number of ways that folks can get involved with us and or ways that we can let people know either through the media or through electronic means. We have a website. We're available on Facebook and Twitter. And we certainly encourage anyone who's interested in working with us to check out our website, which is www.catholicsforchoice.org, or find us on Facebook and Twitter.
Okay, thanks
a
lot.
Thank you, Susan.
I'm Susan Lube for Women's Focus.